be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God, the Gospel of the Lord." Be back. That's a wake-up call. It's good to be back and to see you all again. And of course, it's been a very hot summer, and also many things have happened. And I just this morning just feel I personally want to share a few things with you. I know you spoke about this subject was spoken about a couple of weeks ago here, but I just want to say how I feel about things, and it'll be good. It'll be good for me. Hopefully, it'll be kind of cathartic. Today in Ireland, as most of you will know, the Pope was in Ireland today, and whilst I was there, and the media in Ireland are very, very much against the church, and they were forecasting that he would get a very poor reception when he came, and they were saying, for some unknown reason, they were always seemed to find people who said they didn't want anything to do with the Pope when he came. Just typical media. This morning in Ireland, it was a very wet morning. Surprise, surprise. And the media were delighted. But in Phoenix Park in Dublin, which happens to be the biggest enclosed park in Europe, that there were over 500,000 people there to greet the Pope. Good for them, and they gave him a tremendous welcome. And yesterday, I was looking at it on my iPad because I had nothing else to do, and he got a tremendous welcome as he was taken on his Pope Mobile through the streets of Dublin. Some of you may have been down the main thoroughfare, O'Connell Street, and then Dame Street, and the crowds were massive, five deep on both sides of the street, and it's a big, wide street, and he got a tremendous welcome. Because of the man he is a beautiful person. And so that's the very good news. And he, in fairness to him, he spent an hour and a half this morning, in spite of a very busy schedule, meeting survivors of clerical sex abuse. And some of the people who were interviewed afterwards said, did you get a chance to talk to him? And actually, the answer they gave was, he listened to us intently. Each and every one got as much time as they wanted to talk to him and tell him how they felt. And when somebody, one of the officials said something, you know, looked at his watch, he said, no, this is important. So that's the Holy Father we have, and he's trying to do his best. And isn't it interesting in the gospel this morning, will you too go away? I hope people in Ireland and all over the world heard that today. Will you too go away? My own, well, two things. I want to share it from two sides. There are many victims of abuse. They're what you might call the primary victims of abuse. That is, people who have actually been abused. And then there are many, many secondary victims of abuse. I am a secondary victim of abuse, and I'm sure many of you here are secondary victims of abuse. And I'll explain that to you in a couple of moments. I have, in my priesthood, encountered many people who have been abused. And even after all my many years, I still can't probably comprehend the pain that those people go through. Now, if any one of you here in this church have been abused, you know what I'm talking about. And I just want to say to you on that point, if ever you want a listening ear or you want somebody to talk to, I will listen to you anytime. I'm here for you. I really mean that. I'm here for you. The pain never goes away. It's a horrible, horrible pain. I can give you an example very briefly. You won't know who it is, of a 78-year-old woman who was abused as a little girl and carried a terrible guilt all her life to such a degree she could never come to confession because she felt so guilty. She had done nothing wrong. She had been abused. I, thank God, was privileged to be the priest who she eventually came to confession for the first time in 69 years. What a confession. But that poor woman, the guilt she had is indescribable. So those are some of the primary victims of abuse. What do I mean by secondary victims of abuse? Well, many of us here are secondary victims of abuse. We all feel shamed by it. And I can tell you, the last few years I was in my parish as pastor, one of the reasons I couldn't wait to retire was the fear of a false accusation. Because in the parish, we had quite a big school. And as parish priest, And the school was a very popular school, and it was oversubscribed. So every year, when parents failed to get their child into the school, they would come to me and say, "Well, Father, you can get the child in if you want to." I couldn't. My hands were tired, were tied. We had a board of managers, nothing I could do about it. But then I lived in the fear, I hope they don't go out and make a false accusation against me in order to get their own back, or because they're so annoyed with me. I also, for many, many years in England, and I still do a bit of it today, I had a ministry going for priests who were falsely accused. And I got a lawyer to join me, and that lawyer subsequently went on and did a degree in canon law and became a doctor of canon law. And to this day, he and I are still involved in that little ministry. And again, the number of priests who have been falsely accused, they are the secondary victims of abuse, and there's many of them, not just one or two. So it's a horrible, horrible, horrible problem. Now, look at the other side. There's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. And abuse and child abuse has been going on since the beginning of time. It was going on in the time of Jesus. Jesus was aware of it. Remember, Jesus said, "If any one of you scandalize one of these little ones, it's better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the deep." It's zero tolerance on Jesus, on the Lord's behalf. It's not new. The only thing, and it's a good thing, go back to the past. We were in the dark. Things were happening that we knew nothing about. But today, thank God, we live in a world, we all have iPhones and iPads and television, and when something happens, no matter where it is, we have breaking news and we know about it instantly. If you have cancer and you know nothing about it, you can't do anything for yourself. But when you find out and you're taught about it, then you can do something. Now, today, thank God, because it's come out in the open, we can do something about it. So the question that comes from the gospel this morning, what are you going to do? That's the question Jesus asked us. What are you going to do? Well, I think it's a great time to renew our commitment to the Lord. Let's begin a renewal, not just talk about it. And we need to do that, because we can become very complacent. As a priest, you can become very complacent and think, "Well, I'm doing fine." No, every day has got to be a new beginning and a new renewal. Today is a day I've never lived before. So it's a whole new beginning in my life. I have a whole new challenge today that I never had before. So how do I feel personally? What am I going to do? I have thought about it, and I find, thank God, and I really thank God, that this morning I spent quite a while and thanks to Cambria, and we have a lovely chapel now over in the rectory, and I spent quite a while there this morning, and I felt renewed, and I said, I'm going to go out there and be a new person and a new man, so to speak, and renew my commitment to Jesus. We don't have a problem in the church, we have a challenge. Because if you see it as a problem, you're going to be stuck. It's a challenge. We have a challenge. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I'm only telling you what I'm going to do. I have a new joy in the Lord after 54 years. I'm going to renew my commitment to the Lord, and I'm going to try and do my best. And I'm not going to let what other people have done drag me down. Because you can very easily be dragged down and lose hope and give up. I pray that none of you will let that happen to you. So I'm asking you this morning, stand up and be counted. Be a true follower of Christ. Don't be afraid to admit God matters in my life. And he does. And if you do that, you'll find a new joy and a new happiness in your life. So I'm asking you today, do that. Stand up, be counted, and let's go forward with a smile on our face and full of love of the Lord. Amen. There you go. Thank you.